the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
I love it when she says beautiful Friday morning.
Yeah.
Yes. I
the
love
Friday Fridays. Part's my favorite.
It could be an ugly Friday morning.
You're
I think
right.
You would like
this,
it.
Just the Friday part. Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, today is the saint that we're honoring is Blessed Stanley Rother, and but actually a priest from Oklahoma who was murdered while in Guatemala serving the people there. You'll learn more about him on Saint of the Day, but interesting background. Hmm. And anyway, we'll say a prayer in his honor, and in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that we may follow with due devotion the faith of Blessed Stanley, who, for spreading the faith, merited the crown of martyrdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Blessed Stanley Rother, pray for us. We will learn more about this saint of the day later on in today's show, but we are starting off with some events in our listening area we will give you details about that's coming up in 9 minutes, and you can find all of these events at our website at ccmedia.live on our calendar. In 18 minutes, Gary Zimak joins us. He is a Catholic speaker and author, and today he's going to be talking about the topic, when Jesus doesn't calm your storms, what do you do? So Gary's going to tell us exactly what to do, maybe some advice to continue to turn to him and trust in his plan, because of course it's not on our timeline, it's on God's timeline. Sometimes we need a little reminder. In 35 minutes, Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, joins us, and we always look forward to Jeff Young's segment. Today, we're talking faith, food, and family, and the role they play in our daily lives. Hmm. And in 48 minutes, Sister Allison Gliot joins us. She's with the Daughters of St. Paul, and she wrote a new book that you can find over at Pauline Books and Media called The Book That Changed Everything. So looking forward to speaking to another daughter of St. Paul. They always radiate such joy and happiness, and yeah. I love talking to them in the morning.
Yeah, they're,
so looking
they're happy.
Forward to
they're happy folks.
Guests.
That joy just overflows, doesn't it? I love that.
Yes.
Yeah, sort of like the sunshine. It's just overflowing.
Yeah, that we could taper down a little bit.
Yeah, the heat as well. And sunny and a few clouds, just what we've been getting is what you can expect. 15% chance of rain in the forecast. So a stray shower may pop up this afternoon. The high is supposed to be 98, winds out of the southeast right now at 5 to 10 miles an hour. The same holds true for the weekend, only it will be getting hotter each and every day. Mm. And even into the start of next week. In fact, Monday, the last day of the month, temperatures expected to be 103. That's right, 103.
What day?
That's Monday.
Oh.
The only real chance of or real change is going to be the winds. Instead of the southeast, they're going to blow from the northwest, again, at about 5 to 10. So it might be a little bit cooler, hopefully a little drier, if nothing else. But, boy, we could use some rain.
Yeah.
Temperatures
yeah.
in and around the area right now, 79 degrees in Baton Rouge as well as Gulfport. Elsewhere, home at Thibodeau as well as the North Shore and New Orleans all reporting 75-degree temperatures. So there you have it. Just try to stay cool as best you can. In the meantime, we have some events coming your way, as Gabby mentioned, and also the gospel. So stick around. Wake Up's just getting started. 5 after the hour, folks, on this Friday morning.
A Good Friday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Hear the parable of the sower. The seed sown in the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
In today's gospel, Jesus explains the parable of the sower. The passage begins with Hebrew phrasing, "Hear the parable." How often are we listening to God's word at Mass, when in reality we are turned in to our own inner chatter and vain thoughts? Ouch! That hurts. In preparation, we must ask the Holy Spirit to quiet us down so we can truly hear. The mystery is this. The first full-length parable in Matthew's Gospel is that the Word of God yearns to become incarnate and bear fruit in the good soil of men. In reference to this parable, St. John Paul the Great pointed out that the revelation of the Trinitarian glory in the Incarnation is not a simple stroke of lightning that cleaves the darkness for an instant. Rather, it is a seed of divine life forever deposited within the world and in the hearts of men. At its deepest level, this parable is also a Marian parable, as we see when the Church in a Byzantine rite addresses Mary every morning as mother and archetype, asking her in inspired poetry, "What shall we call you, O Lady full of grace? Paradise itself? For you sprouted the flower of incorruptibility," and the great Greek hymn honors her as the vine branch from which sprang the never-fading shoot, the field that produces the full, untainted fruit. Further on, the Byzantine liturgy explains, "Rejoice, O earth, that brought forth him who makes our lives bloom." In today's world, every word, no matter how silly or offensive, is regarded as acceptable, except, of course, the Word of God and the truths that come from it. In this context, let us take heart in Jesus' warning. "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. Truth hurts, but we need to listen." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy. And yes, the truth hurts, but also we tune your heart to the truth. So if your heart is hurting, hopefully we'll enlighten you and with a message today of some sort. In the meantime, we have a number of events we want to share with you. One in particular, tonight is coming down. The big date night is tonight. The 14th Annual Supper and Substance will be taking place from 6 to 8:30 at the Rockin' Bowl in New Orleans, a fun place for all of us to go. Tickets are $100 a couple, but boy, you get a lot for your money. Besides fellowship, you're going to have appetizers, two entrees to choose from, beer, wine, soda. You'll be able to bowl at a certain time. There's going to be music by Superfly. And a presentation by former Navy SEAL Sam Blair and his wife Lauren. Oh, man, I could go on and on. It's all part of the Archdiocese Faith and Marriage. If you want more information at this point in time or want to get tickets, go to faithandmarriage.org, faithandmarriage.org.
I've been a few times. And they are fun. You spend a lot of time there, and there's a lot of food. I mean, a big variety of food.
I can taste the Rock and Bowl pizza. Yeah. It's the only square pizza I like. Because square pizza tastes different than triangle pizza. Prove me wrong.
I did not know that. But it is good. It's all in the dimensions. Okay.
Hey. They're going to have wings and everything else as appetizers.
Etouffee. So. I mean, really good stuff, y'all. So. I mean, it is great.
And Rock and Bowl. Yeah. 6 to 8:30. Bring the missus or your spouse and have a good time tonight.
Indeed. The NOLA Catholic Youth Conference is coming up on September 30th, so save that date. The conference will be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Jesuit High School in New Orleans. This year's theme is Stir the Flame. Guest speakers are Father Josh Johnson, Father Ajani Gibson, and Archbishop Gregory Amon. For more information, go to ccmedia.live. That sounds like another fun event.
Yeah.
If I was young.
Well, a young... Just show
okay,
up.
Okay, I'll crash it. Yeah.
You're young at heart.
Okay.
A young women retreat is coming up. It's entitled Come to the Water, and it will be held on September 22nd through the 24th at the Shrine of Our Lady of Hope in Osaka, Mississippi. This retreat is for women 21 and older, and during the three-day event, you will hear talks from Father Josh Johnson. He's busy.
Wow.
Father Jerry Daniel, Father Ruben Dykes, and Catholic speaker Casey Spreehy. The cost is $325 for the weekend. For more information, you can go to ccmedia.live.
In Covington, St. Peter's Catholic Church is having their next family praise and worship service. It's going to be on Saturday, August 19th. Believe it or not, August starts next month, so we're not that far away. 6:30 to 8 will be the time. There will be talks, adoration, confession, praise and worship, prayer teams, and more. And if you'd like more info, go to ccmedia.live. Also at St. Peter's Catholic Church, they're having a mother-daughter program focusing on the learning and sharing of God's gifts of human sexuality. The program will be on August 6th. From 1:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon. It'll take place at St. Mary's Hall on the St. Peter's Catholic Church campus in Covington.
Let's see if I can squeeze this one in. The Cynical on the Lake is presenting a silent retreat, Heart is Where the Home Is. That's November 3rd through the 5th. Learn to pray from the heart by reflecting on the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The retreat presenter will be Father Bryce Sibley. So for more information or to register, go to neworleansretreats.org or once again, ccmedia.live.
Very good.
Yes, real quick, Alan Migliorato will be at Mary Queen of Peace at Mandeville on August 24th to speak to parents and teens about key issues.
That's my man.
You can go to ccmedia.live for more information.
Exactly. Big Al coming
Big
to town.
Yes,
get ready for him. All right. Get ready for Gary Zimek. He's coming our way next as Wake Up continues.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 28th. Today we celebrate Blessed Stanley Rother. Born into an Oklahoma farming family, Stanley Francis Rother was ordained to the priesthood in 1963. Accepting the Oklahoma City Diocese invitation to join its mission staff in Guatemala, Father Rother served the parish at Santiago Atitlan for 13 years, experimenting with various farm crops in addition to his pastoral duties. During Guatemala's Civil War, the Catholic Church's insistence on catechizing and educating the poor put many noncombatants in danger. Early in 1981, with his own name on a death list, Father Rother visited family and friends in Oklahoma. Against their advice and that of the local bishop, he chose to return to Atitlan to be with his people. "The shepherd cannot run at the first sign of danger," he told those he left in the States. In the early morning hours of July 28, three men entered the rectory and fought with Father Rother before executing him. His beloved parishioners mourned, "They have killed our priest." Declared the first American-born martyr for the faith in 2016, Stanley Rother also became the first American-born man to be beatified on September 23, 2017. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. And our first guest today is Gary Zimek. Gary is a regular on Wake Up, and we love supporting him. He's a Catholic author and speaker, and you hear him on EWTN and other Catholic radio stations across the country. And today we're going to be talking about Jesus and calming storms. So when he doesn't calm storms, what do you do? What do you do when you're in a storm? How do you trust him? How do you continue to trust him? All the questions Gary is going to be answering. Good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, Gabby, it's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, I look forward to being to talking with you, honestly, because, Gary, it's inevitable. We're going to go through storms. Maybe we're in one right now.
Yep.
And it's something that we're going to have to navigate at some point in time. So can you tell us a little bit about Jesus calming storms? Sometimes he calms a storm, and sometimes he calms the sailor. So tell us a little bit about how we can find this in the Bible and how we can maybe go about this in our daily life.
You know, Gabby, thanks for the opportunity, because in the past I've come on the program and I've spoken about my book, Let Go of Your Fear, and we talked about the two storms at sea when Jesus literally calmed the storms surrounding the apostles. So there are those two documented storms in the Bible when Jesus calmed them. He got rid of them. They were gone. But sometimes in our lives, the storm still rages. But yet, we can feel peace in the midst of the storm. In other words, the external problem still exists. But yet, when we turn to Jesus, we can sometimes experience his peace in the middle of the storm, which really got me thinking. And I thought, and I've used this when I've gone out and spoken, that sometimes Jesus calms the storm, sometimes he calms the sailor. And I started thinking, well, are there any biblical examples of that? And I found one. And it's funny because I actually wrote about it in my latest book, When Your Days Are Dark, God Is Still Good. But at the time I wrote it, I never really viewed it as a storm, but it is absolutely a storm. And it's in the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. On the night Jesus rose from the dead, where were the apostles? They were hiding in fear with the doors shut because they thought that the Jewish leaders were coming after them next. Now, if that isn't a storm, yeah. I don't know what is. Right?
And yeah, it's a type of storm.
He came through the doors, and his first words to them were, "Peace be with you." And then what John tells us in that story is that they were filled with joy when they saw Jesus. And ultimately, what did he do? After giving them his peace, he sent them back out. Now, he said, now go out there and share the good news with others. In other words, go back out into the storm. He didn't calm the external storm, but he calmed the internal storm. And I think in so many ways, that's us. That's us as a person. That's us as a nation. That's us as a world. Got a lot of storms out there, but the Lord can calm those storms.
Yes, and he's allowing it too. And sometimes we're in such horrible storms that we don't see an end in sight, or we can't imagine an end in sight, but we want it to end. Gary, sometimes those days we have to take it day by day and ask God, okay, today is Friday morning. What do you want me to do today? I don't want to think about Saturday because I don't know what Saturday is going to bring. And then we have to kind of accept also that this is on God's timeline and not our timeline.
Exactly. And if he needs to take the problem away, he will. And, you know, there's been times in my life where I said, Lord, please take this away. Mm-hmm. And he has. But there's times he hasn't done it quickly. And there's times he hasn't done it at all, but that does not mean we can't experience his peace. He can come to us and give us that peace, and he will. The only thing is we have to be open to it. And Gabby, as you said, take it one day at a time, not borrow trouble from tomorrow or dwell on something that happened yesterday.
And also asking him to show you how to go about the day. So how to tackle the day, okay? So I have all these things roaring around me. How do I start tackling them for the day? Show me how to do that, and he can show you how to do that. But you're absolutely right, having that peace in the midst of the storm is definitely real for a lot of people. Tell us how the Eucharist can help us face these storms, because I feel like, at least for me, going to the Adoration Chapel is probably one of the places where I find the most peace.
Oh, there you go. And you know, after this interview, my wife and I are headed to Mass, so it's one of the ways I deal with the storms of my life, is to encounter the Lord in the best way possible through the Eucharist. Here's the thing, Gabby, when we look at each of these particular storms in the Bible, the two at sea and the one in the upper room, what calmed the storm in each case? It was an encounter with Jesus. So the Eucharist, the real presence of Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, is the best way for any of us to conquer the storms in our life. That encounter with Jesus changes things for the better, not always externally, but definitely internally.
Mm-hmm. And I'm always thinking of the phrase when I'm going through some trials is, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
So that it is only temporary. And also, Gary, let's kind of flip it. We also don't know what other people are going through at a time. We may be having a conversation with someone and they may be having the worst day of their life. And also spreading kindness, because we don't know what that person is going through, and everyone is going through something at least at one point in their life. Talk about that.
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing is, too, when we allow the Lord to help us, when he fills us with his peace, if we have a relationship with him, he doesn't expect us to keep him all to ourselves. He wants us to go out there and be him to those around us. A lot of people don't have that relationship with Jesus. They don't even know it's possible. But if we do, we're expected to share it. Just like the apostles in the upper room, Jesus came to them. He granted them his peace, and he said, all right, guys, now go back out into the storm. I'm going to be with you. Mm. And that's the key. And honestly, that's what keeps me going. When I have to travel somewhere, when I have to write and I don't feel like it, it's because I'm obligated. I owe it to Jesus. I want to share him with others because I want to help other people to experience the peace that he's given me.
Mm-hmm. I remember, Gary, I did that once with my sister. We were having a conversation, and this conversation came up. She was talking about that we're going through some stormy times. I said, well, Christ is in the boat.
Wow.
I said, he may be asleep.
Wow.
He may be asleep right now. You don't see him, but he's in that boat with you. So that's the most important part, right?
Exactly. And in Mark's gospel, he brought along a pillow with him. He was sleeping on a
pillow. Yes. Now that's casual there.
And you know what? And we got to remember that he's with us. Just because we don't hear it does not mean he is not with us. He's in that boat with us.
Right.
Gary, changing gears real quick, if I can. You've got a new book that's going to be coming out, hopefully by Advent. Share with us, I'm not mistaken, the title is Jesus is Coming. Let's get ready.
No, actually, the title of the book, and it's not going to be out, I believe, until next Advent.
Oh, man, I was hoping you were going to get it. Yeah. Wow. I know you just finished the manuscript, right?
Well, now you went and put pressure on Gary.
No, the publisher.
Yeah, really. But no, it's an Advent devotional, and the tentative title is Finding Peace in Advent. Sort of a give up, worry for Lent, except for Advent. I've been wanting to write this for a long time.
Boy, if you ever need peace, it's in Advent because people go crazy in Advent. You know,
they're
getting all ready for Christmas.
I go crazy in Advent.
Yeah.
It's my favorite liturgical season. I love it. Gary, this is exciting. You're going to be on Catholic Answers Live later today?
I am. I'm going to be the guest in the first hour, and I'm going to be talking about when your days are dark, God is still good. I'm really looking forward to that because I know people need hope. And that's what this latest book is all about, trying to give hope to those who might be feeling hopeless.
Nice.
Yeah. I want to plug in some of your books because you've written many, but for those who aren't familiar with Gary, Gary is very vulnerable about anxiety, going through trials, and combating that throughout the day, but also turning to God and our Lord for peace and guidance. Gary, where can we go to pick up a copy of one of your books or purchase one of your books? Take a look at your website and also get some of your emails as well.
Gabby, the easiest thing to do is go right to my website, which is followingthetruth.com. And as you mentioned, I do have that daily free email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can sign up for that right at my at followingthetruth.com. And by the way, last thing. I have some openings for Lent of 2024 for Give Up Worry for Lent Parish Missions.
Aha.
So just saying, yeah. I don't have Louisiana on my schedule this year.
He knows when crawfish season is. You see, he knows when
crawfish
season is.
I was about to say that, Gary. You're a traveling man.
I'm going to Wyoming, to Ohio, and to Illinois this Lent, but I don't have Louisiana yet.
All right. We just got the word out, so we got to get you booked. Absolutely.
And bye, Gary. And they can do that on your website, right, Gary?
Yes, absolutely. Followingthetruth.com.
Okay, definitely check that out. Gary Zimmet, Catholic speaker and author. Definitely check out some of his books. I have a few of them. They're super easy to read. They are not long.
No.
And a lot of them are daily readings. And I'm telling you, you can get a lot out of them. So
well,
highly
I mean,
recommend
you're talking
a look.
To somebody who's been there, done that, right? He had anxiety issues and such. And so just knowing that he conquered that, he's walking that path with you. That's pretty cool.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Gary, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, guys. Ooh. You're so kind to me. God bless you all. I appreciate it.
All right. Hey, and shout out to his daughter, Elizabeth. She has been an amazing social media intern this summer. Mm-hmm. So if you check out some of the graphics on our social media channels, a lot of those are from Elizabeth, and she's just doing a phenomenal job. So
great.
I just want to give a shout out to Elizabeth, Chris over in the control room.
Yep.
He's about to head back to school. Thank you so much to our summer interns for just doing a great job and being a part of the Catholic Community Media team this summer. So we love having you guys with us. All right, Jeff Young,
indeed,
the Catholic foodie, joins us when we return from the break. It is 1:30 on Wake Up.
And happy Friday, everyone. 35 after the hour on Wake Up. With us now, the Catholic foodie, Jeff Young. And today we're going to talk about faith, food, and family and the role they play in our lives on a daily basis. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. How y'all doing? I'm trying not to lose my voice here.
I hear that.
Little scratchy thing happening, you know?
You woke up that way.
It's
and
summertime, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. A lot of crud.
Well, let's chat about food and see if we can get through this. And I think you can. I'm hoping you can anyway. You know, food plays a vital role in Scripture, at least when it comes to Jesus. And the reason I say that, I'm thinking of when he was feeding the 5,000. There was food when it came to the Last Supper, of course, and he fasted. He also, the sower of seeds, we've been hearing about that over the last few days from gospel readings. So why do you think food is such a center part of his message?
What a great question. That's really good. You know, I think it goes back even to the Old Testament. You know, you look back at Genesis, right? It gives us the beginning, the not just the beginning in sense of creation, but the beginning in terms of how creation works and how, like, who God is and who we are and what creation is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look back in Genesis and you see, I mean, God knows us, right? He made us. He knows how we work. And he says that, you know, you can eat of the fruit of all the trees of the garden except this one.
Mm.
You know, and what do? It's like my dad telling me.
Yeah, you were going for that one.
you got your bike. You can ride on all the streets of the neighborhood, but don't go over here, right?
You're good.
That's the first thing I do, of course.
Yeah.
Right? And Adam and Eve aren't too different from us. But it's interesting to note that the first sin, which is, in essence, it's a sin of disobedience, right? But mm-hmm. as the story, the narrative is given to us, it involves the act of eating, right? It's food. It's taking something into ourselves. And it's almost, in a sense, like a misused meal, in a way,
mm-hmm.
right? It has serious repercussions. But even from the very beginning, God makes his promise. He's going to save us, right? He's not going to leave us estranged from him. And we see what he does throughout the Old Testament is he starts to build or make for himself a family, a people that is his own. And he does this through a series of covenants. And so you see it spans. It's not just one covenant. It's one after the other throughout the Old Testament, which finally culminates in Jesus, right, in the new everlasting covenant. But with each covenant, the highlight of that, the culmination of it, was a shared, communal, sacred meal.
Hmm.
And so we tend to think of it in terms of, I mean, the best example is Exodus, right, with the roasted lamb,
oh, yes,
the blood on the lintels and the doorposts, we think of that. But every covenant culminated in a sacrificial, sacred, shared meal.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a sense, it's like we see the covenant itself happening, which that has to happen, and then you see the culmination of it is this meal. So throughout the Old Testament, food plays this major role again in God making for himself a people that is his own, and it culminates in Jesus. I find it really beautiful to see how, you know, sin enters the world, this act of disobedience, this act of eating in the Old Testament, in Genesis. And Jesus, who is, we talk about Mary, you know, being the undoer of knots, right? That comes from God. Ultimately, she models for us how God is the undoer of knots. So Jesus does this himself. In John chapter 6, talking to us about the Eucharist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how are we saved? How does life come? How does eternal life come? You have to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God, right?
Mm.
And so it's through an act of eating that salvation comes to us. We see that played out perfectly for us at the Last Supper, and then on his sacrifice on the cross, right? His obedience undoes the knot of disobedience from Adam and Eve. And it's just, God is so beautiful.
Yeah.
God
well, is so beautiful. And you touch on something. You know, we eat a meal every day with our family, hopefully, and it brings everyone together. But there's also that special meal on Sunday that he calls us to at the altar, where, again, we are able to share in his body and blood. And that's a meal. That's why, as Catholics, why aren't they going to church, if not on a weekly basis, almost a daily basis? Because that's when you come in one with God. And again, it's a meal of sorts.
Oh,
it's food.
Oh, definitely.
Food for our soul.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I think today, you know, I think we're at a point, and not just in America, but I think across the world, but you know, this is where we are, where we almost have to fight just to maintain our humanity,
mm-hmm.
right? And just to remind others that we are human and that they are human. Mm-hmm. And it's a crazy thing. We're so busy and we're so overwhelmed and we have so much going on. There's so much information overload. And we almost have, in a way, this artificial construct that we have built that keeps us distracted from what's actually real. And so that's why we try everything we can to stay connected, to stay grounded to to what's actually real, right? What has God made? God made mm-hmm. nature, so we try to spend time outside, right? God made us as human beings who we crave, we desire, we yearn for communion with God and with each other. And so where do we find communion as human beings? Typically is going to be around the table of the altar at church, which we see, we even call it Holy Communion, but also the table at home, the family mm-hmm. table, where we are able to experience communion around the table in that sense, in a more general sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we try to hold on to that, and we try to do every opportunity we can, like, is to spend that time together. And I think, Damien, one of the things that's so important, and I was just thinking about this, had a conversation recently about it, and meals help this to happen, right? This time around the table helps this to happen. It could be so easy for me, as an example, to lose track of my own family, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
Instead of knowing who Char is as a person, I just start to see her as my wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my wife. I know her, right? My kids, instead of seeing them and knowing them as individual human persons, I start to see them just as my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Having that time around the table is a way to almost guarantee or ensure that I can break through that complacency and actually see them for who they are, which is how God wants us to understand him.
Yeah,
right?
And meals.
And how he looks at us.
Meals, I agree with you. I had breaking bread with the family is important because it allows us to learn more about each other.
Absolutely.
And through that learning process is what one builds relationships on, even with friends, clients, whatever you're doing. When you sit down for a meal, something different takes place. And you know, the beauty of the church, you mentioned, we know we have the Mass on a daily basis, but think about the church. They're so wise. Of course, the church is God. We have a feast day every day to honor a saint or saints. Feast, huh, my brother? That's food.
That's right. I can tell That's you, right. I learned more about life around that dinner table, you know, from my family. I learned some of my best lessons around that table. So, yeah, there's great value in that.
So anyway, the church does a lot of things to keep us moving in that direction. Of course, we got to make sure we do it in a healthy manner and moderation, right, Jeff?
Oh, we do. We do. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you talk about the feast day. I mean, that's really, if you look at the book of Revelation toward the end, I think it's chapter 22. I mean, that's where we're all heading, right? It's the wedding feast of the Lamb.
Amen.
That's what heaven's all about, the wedding feast of the Lamb. So I think we need to do more feasting. Was it big old quote from great quote from Tolkien about, you know, if we were more into like food and merriment and all that, there'd be a whole lot less evil in the world.
Amen. Right?
Well, Jeff Young, you got through it, and thank you for doing that, and have a great weekend. Wake Up will continue.
Here's a CC Media Did You Know.
Do you know why our call letters are WPYR? In 2009, the word spread to pray your rosary for Baton Rouge's first Catholic radio station. The prayer worked.
For more of our history, visit ccmedia.live.
Forty-eight past the hour, you're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collada on a Friday morning. And we have Sister Allison Gliot. Sister, am I saying your name right?
It's Goliath, actually.
I'm not even close. Oh, Goliath. Ooh, I like that. Yeah, we've been saying it wrong all morning long. And you're with the Daughters of St. Paul. Love you guys. Sister, are you in Metairie, or are you somewhere else today?
I'm actually in Boston at our mother house.
The mother house in Boston. Okay, great. Well, Sister, you have a new book that we're going to talk about. And the reason I'm excited about it is I got grandbabies, and my grandbabies are always bringing books to me and jumping on my lap. So I'm excited about that. Talk about your book.
Okay, so it's called The Book That Changed Everything, and it's a picture book for kids 3 to 7, and it's about a little girl who lives in a library that has every book that's ever existed. But she feels lonely. Like, she loves reading, but she feels lonely because, like, she doesn't, like, nobody knows her. She has all these books, but nobody knows her. And so one day she discovers the Bible. Sorry, that was a little bit of a spoiler.
Yeah. But okay, well, thanks for joining us. And no, I'm kidding.
Well, she discovers the Bible and realizes how it's different from all the other books, because it's not just her reading about Jesus. It's actually, she can talk to Jesus, like the real Jesus, not just a character in a book, but actually Jesus.
Nice. And so this is for ages 3 to 7, which is just, you know, right up my alley. That's what I love. That's the ones I read to. And it's illustrated. Let's see. I was looking at just really cute illustrations here. And I see, I believe that is Sophia there on the cover. And is that a...
Yeah.
What is that with her?
It's a ferret.
It's a ferret. Okay. Right. Well, he's a cute little rascal. But anyway, it's adorable. It's wonderful. So what inspired you to write the book?
Jesus. Nope. Short answer.
Boom. Okay.
It just came to me one day. I loved reading as a kid. And so I think the ideas were kind of floating around in my mind. But it was really one day Jesus out of the blue was like, let me tell you a story. And so I wrote it down and shared it with the sisters at our publishing house here, and they all got really excited about it and found an illustrator who got really excited about it. And
great.
So that's kind of how it came to be.
Now, I understand you're coming down to Metairie. You're coming to, we have an occasion. We have something coming up.
Yeah, I'll be coming to Metairie next Tuesday, actually, which is the day that the book releases, August 1st. But I'll be in town until the 14th, and we're going to be having a book signing event at our book center, Pauline Books and Media, in Metairie on Saturday, August 12th.
All right.
So I'm very excited. There's going to be crafts and singing, and I'll do a couple read-alouds of the book. So.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it. There was some grandbabies.
I highly encourage this. Well, yeah. Because I used to bring my son over to Pauline Books and Media for these events, and yeah. He loved them. He looked forward to them all the time. I love this. What is the age group of the book, sister?
It's for ages 3 to 7 or 8, I guess, if you have a kid who likes beautiful pictures.
Yeah.
It's a good read aloud book, but it's also if, you know, the kid is starting to read themselves and, you know, wants to give it a try at reading it themselves, it's a good age for that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, is this your first?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Okay. So you already got some in the works already, I'm sure. You're going to follow up with this.
There's over the next year or two, there's a couple more in process, but they won't be coming out this year.
So this is fantastic. This is delightful. And I'm looking now, is the book already released?
No, it's coming out August 1st, actually. So it's available for pre-order right now. But
Okay. Wonderful.
Sister Allison.
August 1st.
Okay.
Sister mm-hmm. Allison, there are so many first of all, the kids section over at Pauline Books and Media is very colorful and bright, and that's all the kids just gravitate, and I do too, over to that section, just because it's really pretty.
Me too.
And it's really cool. So you introduce sacred scripture in this book, ages 3 to 7. 3 years old, they're starting to understand a little bit more of what's going on. Talk about the importance mm-hmm. of introducing our children at a young age to sacred scripture, because sometimes, even as adults, there are some verses or even books in the Bible that are hard to understand. Thank goodness for Bible in a Year. Why is it important for us to introduce sacred scripture at an early age?
Well, I think because these are the stories of our faith. Like, this is how God wrote the Bible, as like his love letter to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the earlier you can start that with kids, the better, because they're coming to know who Jesus is, who God is, and obviously in an age-appropriate way. Like, I would not sit down with like a normal adult Bible and start reading the book of Judges to your three-year-old.
Right.
But I think that there's so many at our book center, we have so many different children's Bibles for different ages. Like, we would use a different Bible for a three-year-old than we would for a six-year-old, even, because their levels mm-hmm. of understanding are different. So I think it's important to find a book that really like is able to meet your kid exactly where they are today, but even from a very early age, start letting them know that like God loves them, and that Jesus mm-hmm. is real, and he loves them, and they can have a relationship with him, and whatever that looks like in a three-year-old brain. Kids are often have very profound spirituality. Like, they're in touch, I think. They have less distractions and less confusions about God than we do sometimes, and they can have very clear insights about that. So,
you know, it is amazing how much children love being read to. I mean, the ones that can't mm-hmm. read, of course, and then at an early age, how much they do read themselves, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. Even starting to pick up, like, they see the illustrations and they're guessing what's going on and interacting with it that way. It's really fun.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, sister, we're looking forward to the 12th when you're going to be down, and that's at Pauline Books and Media in Metairie. And that sounds like a wonderful, fun day. And as far as folks, can they pre-order your book?
Yes, they can. It's on Amazon, but it's also, if you want to order directly from the nuns, it's paulinestore.com.
That's what we want to do. Okay. Pauline,
yes.
Paulinestore.com. Right. And then next week they can just go.
I'll also be in the book center until from like the 2nd to the 14th. So if anyone wants to stop in and have me sign a book, I can do it at any time. But the actual book signing and read aloud event is going to be from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on August 12th.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Looking forward to it. Well, Sister Allison, thank you for joining us, and we hope to meet you soon.
Thank you for having me.
All right. God bless.
See you in Metairie.
All right.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Also, pick up a free $6.90 bumper sticker when you're over at Pauline Books and Media. They have their brand new bumper stickers.
There you go. There you go. They're new, cool-looking little oval-shaped bumper stickers now.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Yeah. I got a few on my truck. So, Wow, y'all ready for the weekend?
Yeah.
All right.
You?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I got as many plans as you do. We were just talking about our plans, Gabby, and we don't have any. So that's what's really cool.
Yeah.
So,
stay hydrated, you guys. Wear sunscreen. Water the plants.
Yes.
And all Gabby, the things we've been doing for weeks.
Gabby won't be with us next week because she's taking her vacation, right, Gab?
That's right. So I will be gone all next week. So I will return on the 7th. So it'll be the David and Damien show.
If there's a show left when you come back. Yeah.
Yeah, there will be.
We're going to party
It'll
here.
Be good.
Okay.
All right.
Be great guests.
Well, have a safe trip and y'all enjoy yourselves.
Thank you.
And I'm sure there'll be plenty of sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know where it's raining at anywhere in the United States right now or elsewhere. But we will close with a prayer to wrap up this week and show. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. May Jesus comfort you in all your afflictions. May he sustain you in danger, watch over you always with his grace, and indicate the safe path that leads to eternal salvation. And may he render you always dearer to his divine heart and always more worthy of his paradise. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. We're talking to Becky Eldridge on Ignatian spirituality on the Feast of St. Ignatius of Loyola, Alan Migliorato, Josie Duke, and so much more. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.